Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today, we talk brainstorms with UX designer Brian. Let's go. First question. You thought you'd see everyone's idea in the team brainstorm, but you've got a grand total of one. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, right? Because in Miro, the team can add ideas now or later. And with Privacy Mode, we can keep them anonymous until they're good to share.
Correct. Next, you need the best way to explain your idea, but all you have is a few sticky notes. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, because, you know, in Miro, I could record videos, add text, images, links, and digital sticky notes, of course. Present my thoughts the way I want.
Right again! Now, you're looking for a past idea you thought was just genius. Only you could find... Oh, there it is! Drawing Board or...
Miro! All our finished and unfinished work lives in one place.
And he's won.
Join over 60 million people getting ideas noticed in Miro Brainstorms. Get your first three boards for free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to TMG. I'm your host, Travis Patton Sr. I enjoy discovering and sharing real-life moments of inspiration from everyday people. And this show is about finding moments of inspiration for our everyday lives. And look, and if you're going to tell me something, then tell me something good. Hi, everybody, and welcome to a new episode of TMG. That's Tell Me Something Good. Well, I'm your host, Travis Patton Sr. Hey, real quick, guys, before we get started, don't forget to join our Facebook page. That's Tell Me Something Good with the capital T. As I'm super excited to be here tonight. I know you say, Travis, look, man, you're always excited. You're always amped up. That's because I try to be. No matter what I do, look at the best positive things that I can. So excited to be here, guys. Look, in a very short time, this show has been heard all around the world. Places like Japan, the Philippines, Nepal, Vietnam. Guys, I'm so glad that you're tuning in wherever you may be tuning in right now. And before we jump right into it, I gotta give a shout out to my best supporter, my biggest fan, guys, my lovely wife, Nicole. Nicole, I know you're watching. I know you're listening. That's your shout out for today. Guys, you're really going to enjoy the show tonight. I know you are. Hey, Laura Hunter, I see you watching, girl. How you doing? Listen, the show tonight is going to be something that's going to be really, really great. It's going to captivate if you're listening. So if you're tuning in, tune in just a little bit closer because it's going to get real, real good real soon. Guys, today's topic that we're going to talk about is Under a Spell. Have you, let me ask you guys a question before I bring on my special guest tonight. Have you ever, how many times have you done something or maybe you said something and after doing it and after saying it, you ask yourself this question. You say, what in the world was I thinking? What did I do that for? And you end up scratching your head and you wonder, what made me do that? And sometimes it can be a pattern of behavior or a pattern of thinking, and you begin to feel like, man, I'm losing control. Or you feel like you are just under a spell. Guys, tonight, we have a very special guest. His name is Jim Kellner, and he is a certified hypnotherapist. He's going to come on. He's going to tell us exactly what that means and how that plays into today's topic. Guys, let me go ahead and bring on Jim. Jim, introduce yourself to everybody. Guys, give Jim a big TMG. How you doing?
Travis, thank you. I'm going to try to match your energy, but I don't think that's possible. Yeah, I'm a certified hypnotherapist, so I help people with their personal problems, habits, and making changes. I'm also a stage hypnotist, so I make people do funny stuff on stage.
Yes, he does. If you have not seen his show, if you've not seen anything on YouTube, it is hilarious. Guys, Jim Kellner, when you get through with this, I want you to go check out his stuff on YouTube. I'm telling you, it's absolutely hilarious. Hey, Jim, I'm so glad you're here. I'm super excited. As you can see, and my wife sometimes says I wake up on 10. She's like, tone it back, tone it back. I get up before she does, so she says, no, it's too early. It's way too early. But I wake up like this because I want to go ahead and seize my day and get started. So today's topic, Jim, I reached out to you and we collaborated and we talked about this. A lot of times, Jim, I've been there. I've said some stuff, done things, and you go, man, what in the world am I thinking? And you feel like we lose control. And we look at today's society and what's happening in the news and happening everywhere. It just seems like there's a lot of impulsive nature, a lot of impulsive behavior that's going on. It's just like people just losing control of just regular things that you would think that 20, 30 years ago, you'd be like, come on, guy, you know not to do those things. But it just seems like there's a lot of a pattern of impulsiveness and impulsive nature happening. Are we losing control? Are we under a spell? What seems to be going on? And now you're a hypnotherapist, and I had your partner on here last time, man. Nice. Woo! And we had a wonderful time. And we talk about hypnosis, and we hear it in the news, and we've seen pictures of people with hypnosis, and we've even seen TV shows with people hypnotizing people. And when we think of hypnosis, you know what, Jim? We get a picture like this in our mind.
Right.
One sitting us down and swinging a clock in front of us, right? And yeah. I'm going to ask you, what exactly is hypnosis? We hear that so much. What exactly is that?
Well, I was just thinking I should have brought a coffee cup and stirred the coffee cup while we're doing this. I don't know if everybody's seen that movie, but it's bad news for hypnotists when we see
that. I know,
this.
Right?
So what is it? I want to tell everybody right out there, right up front, you know, pretty much anything you've seen on TV or in movies about hypnosis is incorrect. So don't believe the hype. I wish it worked that good, because if it did, I'd be on an island somewhere with Taylor Swift.
Right.
Don't tell my wife. With bags full of money, by the way. So obviously it doesn't work as well as it does on TV or wouldn't be here. I mean, love you, Travis, but I wouldn't be here. But
I know.
Trust me, I wouldn't be here.
I've learned to do it myself.
So hypnosis is really just a way of, it's a way of bypassing the critical faculty. And the critical faculty is that part of us. So, you know, when you go, I'm going to quit smoking. And you think that's going to be fine. But there's a part of you that's like, no, you can't quit. You've tried that hundreds of times, thousands of times. That's that critical faculty. What we do is we go around that critical faculty so that when you say to yourself, or I say to you in hypnosis, you easily quit smoking, it gets easier.
Mm. So there you go, guys. So here's what I hear. It's like our minds, all of our minds has a guard. And hypnosis is a way to navigate around that natural guard that we have that's set up in our minds that really prevents us from really tapping into who we are, tapping into the potential that we have. And I like to say this, that we are all born gifted, or however you want to say, with abilities and potentials we don't know about. And right. A lot of us, we settle for our minimum potential instead of maximizing our greatest potential a lot of times, because maybe fear, previous traumas, it could be, you know, anxieties, it could be things like, you know, previous embarrassments or whatever it may be. And yeah. What we do is we settle in into a certain place, and we think the mindset that we have is normal. We think it's us, and it really isn't, because if we aren't living out our best lives, if we aren't trying each day to tap into our best potential and be who we can and be better, then we are settling for who we could be.
Can I just, I want to go back to what you said about we think it's us, because that's a big deal. And we're seeing a lot more about this in books and everything. Joe Dispenza, I think, getting past you or something like, anyway. And I cover it in my upcoming book as well. There's just, people are kind of attached to who they are. And if you're attached to who you are today, then that version of you can't get those things that you want, because if you could, you'd have already done it.
Absolutely.
And so you've got to let go. I've got to let go of the gym of today to move forward. And it really is, it's sort of like going through stages of life. You know, you go through, you know, you don't fight going through, you know, puberty. I mean, that just happens. So it doesn't mean you have to change completely, but there's parts of you that will have to change. You will have to become a new person if you want new things.
Absolutely. Guys, did you hear that? If you want new things, we have to become a new person. Listen, those things are attached to who we become. We attract what we want, but as we go forward becoming that individual, we attract that. We draw it to us. And as we go becoming that individual, we draw it. It's kind of like being in a room with a lot of CEOs. Does it make you a CEO? But it does begin to change this.
It does.
You do begin to see that, hey, it's possible. And hypnosis just lets you know that it is possible.
Well, actually, it's funny. Cool. I actually have a friend here in Seattle. And what he told me one time is, he goes, you know what I really like about hanging out with you? He wants to be a hypnotist as well, a stage hypnotist and stuff. But he's still stuck in the 9-to-5 grind. He says, you know what I love hanging out with you, Jim? You show me what's possible. You know, that, and he's like, you're just a regular guy, you know? And I'm like, yeah, I am. So, you know, it's just, I just did things and became the person that could do those things.
Absolutely. Guys, I've watched Jim's story, watched some of the things that he dealt with, overcame with, and he is a regular guy who just, the light switched. He flipped it, switched. There was no magic tricks. Yeah. There was no spell, nobody casting that. I know, right? No Harry Potter, guys. This is the real thing. We want better. And hypnosis is one way. Hypnotherapy is a way to say, you can get it. You can do it. And a lot of us, Jim, we spent a lot of our lives in that forever fight and forever struggle, trying to make life better for ourselves. And it can just be one thought away, a different thought away. And a better life is a different thought away. If we just change how we appear, a better life is just a different thought away.
It really is. And I think that a lot of times we don't even realize it, you know. I mean, you could just start using your other hand to brush your teeth, you know, put your pants on, the different leg, you know. Start doing things differently, because, again, if you're not where you want to be in life, you don't have those things you want, you got to do something different. You can't – a lot of people – you know, and it's funny, too, because a lot of people think that they just – that things just change overnight. You know, it's just like they wake up and boom – but really what I have found for myself and what I see with my clients is it's brick by brick. You know, you're building a wall and it just, you're making a change here. You're making a little change, and then maybe you'll put a bunch of bricks in it at once. And then it's, you know, it's kind of boring, to be honest. It really is, because there's no, every once in a while, and here's what I tell clients, you know, is like, every once in a while, somebody will do this monumental thing. They'll change their life completely. They drop 100 pounds and then they go on TV and they make $1 million. But the reason we hear about those stories is because they're so rare.
Correct.
They're not, the regular way it happens, it's not sexy. It's not glamorous. Nobody wants to hear that. You know, you just got to get up every day and go for a walk if you want to take off the weight. You know, it's every day you got to, you know, eat some more vegetables or whatever it is. They don't want to hear that. They want the magic. They want that. They want that magic wand.
and you're right. And that's the whole point, where when we do things and say things that are kind of impulsive natures and impulsive behaviors, it's because our minds are now programmed to have that instant gratification, that instant fix, that instant in the moment happening. And we can break away from those things. we were talking earlier this week, and we were talking about how our minds are programmed. When we're anxious about things, we grab a bag of chips and start eating them, or we grab a Twinkie, or we grab the chocolate, or we get a cigarette. Exactly. Yeah. And they get afraid of hypnosis, but we're already hypnotized, aren't we, Jim?
Already hypnotized. Oh yeah, absolutely. That's a funny thing, is everybody thinks that I'm going to hypnotize them to do things that they don't want to do, but they're already doing the things they don't want to do.
Oh, right. <man. laughs>
So, I mean, really, you know, it's so funny because it's constantly in the media, and you know, people get this idea that I'm going to make them do all these things, and yet they're telling me, but I have, you know, and this is the funny thing, they'll say, well, I don't want somebody to have control over my mind. I go, well, I won't, but wouldn't it be great if I did? Because you don't have control over your mind. So let me help you get control over your mind. And I got to tell you too, the thing that I call stress the root of all evil. I do, because it's the thing that makes us eat more, drink more, kick the dog, you know, yell at your wife, all those things, right? And so that's one of the key things that we got to do in life, is just try to deal with that stress.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So many times we get stressed, and our tone will change with individuals. Yeah. Our attitudes will change. Our approach will change. And it's not, and it's the same person we just saw 10 minutes ago. 10 minutes ago, Jim.
Right.
But stress hit us, and it has told us, this is what you should do. This is how you should act. Guys, we are already hypnotized. When you go to the store and you see something that says brand new, we are hypnotized to go ahead and grab it because it says brand new.
Yeah.
And we're talking about impulsive behaviors, because what do? We impulsively buy it. We impulsively act on it. We impulsively say it. We impulsively do it. And then we do it, we said earlier, we begin scratching our heads. Why did I buy this car? I can't afford it. Why did I get these clothes? And I know I have other needs at this point in time. And we have these things, and well, what can I do about it? And a lot of times we hear, well, hypnosis can make me stop smoking, can make me stop losing weight. But hypnosis taps into who we are, Jim. It taps into the person that's already there. Yeah, every millionaire was already a millionaire even before they made their first million. The person that you want to become is already in you. It's already inside of you. Whatever you aspire to be in life, you are already that person, and hypnotherapy helps to bring that out. And these impulsive things that we have, that we see that's going on, there are ways that we can help avoid that. Let me ask you this question. So we see a lot happening, right? We see a lot happening that some might say are impulsive behaviors, right? Impulsive behaviors. And we might be guilty getting up in the middle of the night, eating that chocolate cake, right? You know, guilty of some of these type of behaviors. How is it? What can you offer to help provide us with a different choice to kind of stay in control? Because impulse tells me I lost control. What can we do?
Let me give a shout out to Jeffrey real quick. That's a friend of mine. Bradley. So, you know, we're talking about these impulsive behaviors, you know, these and remember, everything that you're doing really is a part of you thinks that's a positive thing.
Right.
Now, you don't believe it, right? You don't believe it because, you know, you think that cigarettes are a bad thing. But here's the thing. The subconscious mind the main goal of the subconscious mind is to keep you alive. So if you're alive today, it's been successful. Okay. So whatever you're doing, it's like, we're not stopping that because, you know, we're not changing anything because that could cause you to die. I mean, that's kind of at the root kind of. So when you do a behavior over and over again, and smokers find this, I found this out when I started smoking. And I mean, I smoked for several months and I would just, I quit anytime. It's no big deal. I smoke once and then several days, you know, go by, I wouldn't have one. And then all of a sudden it changes, because what you're doing is you're laying down, the neural pathways are being built. You're just building the habit. That's all you're doing. And they're like train tracks, these neural pathways. Once they're there, You can't get rid of them. They're there forever. Now, what you can do is you can, over time, they get covered up by other stuff, or you can divert them. But what we find is then when you're in a high moment of stress, it's pretty easy to find that train track again. You know, you just... So what I do in hypnosis, a lot of what I do is just coaching. You know, and I'll use smoking as an example because it's such a funny thing, because what clients will tell me is, I can't quit smoking because how do I deal with my stress? And I go, I don't smoke. How do I deal with my stress?
Oh, wow.
Your wife doesn't smoke. How do they deal with their stress? It's like we have different choices. Now, some people may have other choices. Hey, Natasha. So they may reach for the chocolate cake, or maybe they go for a walk, or maybe they meditate. Maybe they just take a few minutes for themselves.
Right.
So what we're doing is we're teaching people different ways to deal with that stress and to divert those tracks, those neural pathways, into a new behavior. And in hypnosis, a lot of what I do is just convince them it's possible because they have come to the place, their conscious mind has come to a place where I can't quit smoking. I've tried it.
Right.
Every time I try it, it hurts. It hurts when I try to quit smoking. You know, it hurts when I try to quit drinking. It hurts when I stop eating cake, whatever. And correct. It's just convincing that conscious mind, or getting around it to the subconscious and saying, you can do this. You can do this, dude. You can do thousands of other people have done it. Why not you?
Oh, wow. Did you hear that? I'm going to type that in chat real quick. And all I'm going to type is this. Why not you? We'll put that in chat, guys. Why not you? That is a question, guys. I mean, to me, that's a great question to start your day off with. When you wake up in the morning, ask yourself, why not me? When you're going throughout your day, why not me? When you're looking at TV and you see something that you like and you see someone living a life that you want to live or having some characteristics that you would like to have embody in yourself, why not me? If there's habits and things that you want to break, why not me? I'm still in that gym, by the way. I'm going to put a little trademark next time you see it. It's got a little R around it.
it's actually the topic of one of my talks that I do is why not you? And I came to this over time because I kept asking myself, I get these opportunities. Even when I got my TEDx talk, I got an email and I was like, why me? Why would they want me? There's all these other hypnotists that are way more qualified. Why me?
Right.
And then I got this other opportunity, and finally I caught myself and I said, why not you? You're a world-renowned, just Jim Kellner. You know, why not
there
you?
There you go.
You know, why not you, Travis Patton Sr.? You know, why not you? And yeah. I'll tell you, it was funny. My assistant, actually, we were talking one time, and she said, I want to submit you for this summit. It was a big deal. I don't even know if I told her this. And I knew who was going to be presenting. It's all these big names in hypnosis. And my first thought was, again, why me? And then I was like, and it was a tough one to go, ooh, why not you? And then I got invited to speak and I'm like, wow, this is crazy. So don't stop asking yourself why me and say, well, why not you?
That's a great question, man. Guys, I mean, just that alone, and you said, so I'm gonna circle back to something you said, that when we have these impulsive natures, behaviors, or these habits, we all we've done really is lay down a train track so the train can go, right? So we're connecting the dots. If we didn't lay the train track, the train would stop. It would derail. And that's the same way for anything. Any new behavior we want, if we just get up and just be consistent in something small, we begin to lay the train tracks for that very thing also. And if we can lay train tracks for things we don't like, we can lay train tracks for things we do like. It works the same way.
It does.
And we find ourselves doing things, and it's like that train. We find ourselves arriving in places we've always wanted to arrive at. We find ourselves arriving in destinations and being in places we've always wanted to be because we've laid down that track. We've laid down that track. So that's good. That's good. Ask that question. Though we hear this. Let me ask you this. In hypnosis, has always had kind of a negative connotation or mystical kind of connotation attached to it. What might be some signals? You know, we're talking about impulsive natures here. What might be some signals that we are acting or responding impulsively? And what in the world can we do? Because I know if you're listening to this tonight or if you're going to listen to it later on, we all have done that, said that. Man, what in the world? What are some signals that we're acting impulsively? Or are there any that we can notice?
Well, what I would say is you really want to – I think it's tough if you're not working with somebody. And I don't mean just a hypnotist, because if that's not your thing, you could also utilize guided meditation, or you could use cognitive behavioral therapy or something like that. It really is, it's tough at first.
Welcome to another round of Boardroom or Miro Board. Today we talk retrospectives with Agile Coach Maria. Let's go. First question. You've spent 2 hours in a team retro, but the only input you've heard is Dave's. Boardroom or Miro Board?
Boardroom. In Miro, Dave can't hog the space because everyone can add thoughts anonymously, online, at the same time.
Correct. Next. You need the team to act on feedback fast, so you turn all those retro notes into Jira tasks instantly.
Miro all the way. And I can assign those tasks to teammates.
You're nailing this. Now, you see hundreds of sticky notes from the retro. A real mess. But you organize them into 5 themes in just seconds.
Miro, I basically get back an entire hour when I use its AI tools for clustering.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people running actually enjoyable and actionable retros in Miro. Get your first 3 boards free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Please, if you're doing this on your own, I'll be honest, it really is tough to do on your own at first, because you've got to start to, what I want you to do is just start paying attention. That's the problem, is most of us, we're just going through life, we're hypnotized. We're not paying attention, right? Correct. We're just coasting through life. And if you don't believe me, think about this. You ever lost your car keys? It's because you were hypnotized, right?
You put
your car keys down, you weren't focused. The other thing too, is I would say is, before I forget, I'll come back to that too, but one of my colleagues, Dr. Richard Nongard, he did a TEDx talk on mindfulness. Mm-hmm. And mindfulness I have found to be just an incredibly powerful self-help tool. And at its essence, the way you practice mindfulness is you focus on your breathing. And so, you know, as I'm talking to you, I can kind of just focus on each breath in, each breath out. And when you're driving, whatever you're doing, you just focus on that. It keeps you in the moment, so your mind isn't everywhere else.
Correct.
And then most of us, we can kind of tell if you start paying attention, if you're paying attention from now on, just make a note or something, a sticky note, I'm going to pay attention, because you start to feel yourself escalate.
Correct.
And that's when you know, okay, you know what? I'm not in a good place right now. So I need to go away. Because what a lot of people do, myself included, sometimes it's like, I feel it coming on. I'm irritable. I don't mm-hmm. do anything about it. And I just keep going. And then what do you know? Then I snap at my wife, or I do whatever. It's a great time to go for a walk around the block.
Correct.
It's a good time to do some deep breathing. It's a great time to, you know, do whatever you think is going to help you to de-escalate that. And I think it'll make a big difference. It's that paying attention part. After a while, like now, like I can recognize it almost immediately. I go, I'm getting to that place. If I don't do something, that I'm going to pull the trigger.
Exactly. And I do the same thing. Jim, what I do a lot of times with mindfulness, when I feel myself getting to that point, let me just slow my breathing down. And I heard someone say this when we begin to slow our breathing down and let our breathing take over, it begins to feed oxygen to the front part of our brain where we do most of, you know, to a part of our brain that does all the thinking. And we can begin to become more rational than irrational. And yeah. we can start thinking through the consequences a little bit better.
Right.
You know, when you're getting ready in a car lot and the salesman's all hype and excited, he's got you all ready to buy, yeah, man, ride the car.
Yeah.
And we're all emotional, but we're not calm. We're not focused. We leave the lot with a wonderful looking car until that first payment comes.
Exactly.
And then we're reminded, I knew I should not have gotten this vehicle. And it's too late because they won't take it back now, Jim.
Exactly. Exactly.
There is no returns. You know,
I want to give a shout out to Mark, and he just reminded me of something because, you know, I used to have really terrible, like just get so angry in traffic, and I will still if I don't do something about it. And so one of the things, and I worked with a client on this too, because I did it for myself, and then I worked with a client. She said it made a huge difference is if you will take whatever that thing is that's bothering you, whether it's your spouse or the person at the bar or, you know, you're driving or whatever, just think of that as a color. You think of that as some kind of a color that you can associate with that. For me, it was red. It was like the anger of red, that what you associate with that situation. And then just imagine yourself floating up above it and then looking down. And I found that was really powerful because I kind of get this almost a smug feeling because I'm like, oh, I'm above all that.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
You can't bother me. I'm above all this.
Guys, listen. What we're saying is this. We all will be faced with impulse emotions, impulse feeling, because we're human. We're not saying that we're superhuman, but we're saying there are things that we can do. And what Jim does with hypnotherapy is help us tap into, once again, guys, to what is possible inside of us. And, you know, the show TMG, Tell Me Something Good, it's all about speaking to what's positive and what's possible in us. What is possible? Because we all want to know what we're possible or capable of doing, the potential that lies in all of us. And that's what we all want to know about. Good strategy, Natasha. So Natasha had a great strategy. And what did Natasha say?
Yeah, I like that. Setting some random alarms on her phone with little messages to stop.
Oh, that's good.
Take a few minutes. Yeah. You know, the thing is don't try to push through it because most of us, we're just not strong enough. We fail. And so this is one of the greatest things that I came a while back was like, I'm going to fail at things. So what can I do to prevent myself from failing? And the great example of that is my phone. When I go to a store, I go to the doctor or something, I always, always want to lay it on the counter. I always want to do that. But I did that once, and I ran back in, and some woman was starting to put it in her purse. And I was like, oh,
what?
Yeah, seriously. And she goes, oh, I thought it was mine. Like, oh, yeah, right.
Oh, yeah, right. Sure you did.
So what I have to do is I have to consciously say to myself, every time I start, no, I never put it, no matter how convenient it is, I never set my phone down. I never set it. It goes into my pocket. So a lot of times people will look at successful people and they'll think, oh, they just born that way.
Correct.
Believe me, people, I was not born this way. I was not born, you know, the badass Jim Keller. I was not. Or maybe I was. Actually, let me just say that because you had mentioned something earlier that we're kind of born with this thing. I think we're like a new car. When we're born, we're a new car. We roll off the. But then we get all the dings and we get the chips in the windshield. If you think that, you know, well, you know, because my people always say, well, just be yourself. Bull crap self. Be a better yourself.
A better version of yourself.
And you don't even know who you are because you've got all these dents. You've got all these cracks in the windshield. You don't even know who you are.
Exactly. Jim, you're reading my brain, man. I tell people that you have no clue who you are as long as we are alive. One thing I love about the human mind and about humans is that we're ever evolving, we're ever changing, we're ever adapting. And who you were when you were 7 is not who you are when you're 18, not who right. you were when you're 20, not when you're in your 30s or your 40s. So to say, be yourself, you don't know who that person is. So I heard someone say this before, and I completely wholeheartedly agree with it. It is well and it is okay to say when someone asks, hey, be yourself, or who are you? It's okay to say, hey, I'm still evolving. I don't know absolutely. Who I really am right now. I'm still evolving. I'm 52 years old, Jim. I have no clue who I'm going to be at 62 right. or 72. I just know who I am now. Embrace that and become the better version of who you are. Being yourself, what does that even mean?
Yeah, it really, it's such a trite cliche. I think there's good intentions behind it. You know, people absolutely. Are saying don't change yourself for other people, what they're really meaning, or don't, if you're an artist, don't change yourself to go do this or something. It gives people this idea that they shouldn't change. And a lot of people think they can't change. They're like, well, God, I've been this way for 52 years, you know, how can I possibly change? But you've changed all kinds of things throughout your life.
Absolutely.
Whether you think about it or not.
And here's what I think about this. When we hear the word change and we talk about impulsive behaviors, you know, the first thing we start thinking, oh, man, this is going to be tough. This is going to be hard. You just hit the key. You said we changed things all our lives. We didn't give it a whole lot of thought. We changed a whole lot. Let me ask you this. All right. So you said you do on stage. You do what you do on stage. I've seen you do senior release with high school students. I've seen your TEDx was good. Colleges, everywhere on stages. And so comedy, right? Comedy.
Yeah.
You're pretty funny. Yeah, you're pretty
Thanks.
Funny. He's hiding it, guys. This guy. I don't know why he's hiding it. He's hiding it.
Serious topic.
I've seen your stand-up, Jim. So you have successfully kind of married these two, right?
Yeah.
You kind of infused it into your career. Are there ways that we can kind of use humor along with some tips of therapy to kind of to help us see the funny side of things? When things are kind of going crazy, when we see this impulsive stuff happening, and that we can see the funny side of things, when we might, kind of feel like we're losing control.
I'll tell you, one of the things that I've worked with some clients, and it just occurred to me one time when I was working with one client, she was telling me this story about her office environment. And the more she told me, I almost started breaking out laughing, because the reason was it sounded like a sitcom to me. I was like, this is ridiculous. This is like a Seinfeld episode right here. And so, what I do with clients sometimes is I just have them, you know, look at these things, because really the difference between something being, you know, sad or frustrating or being funny, they're pretty close, you know, and you just blow them up, you make it bigger. And so if you can think about your favorite sitcom and these people that are doing these things, like the people in traffic, you know, how would George Costanza react to this situation, or
exactly.
or Kramer, or whatever your favorite show is, and you start to go, it starts to get funny, and it's hard to be stressed. It's hard to be angry when you're laughing.
I love that. It's hard to be angry when you're laughing. Now, I know someone personally who's really good at that. They may be upset about something, and you know, they'll show it a little bit. But one thing they really do is they will start thinking about something that was funny, and then they'll just kind of roll off the back. And my wife, she's pretty good at that. She'll think about something that's funny, and then she'll like, and it's gone. So that switch is there. That switch is there. It can be turned on. It can be turned off. We just have to be willing to do that. I love the comments that everyone is joining in. Natasha asks, habit stacking is the most powerful strategy ever. Repeat one thing. Absolutely. Repeat one thing until it becomes a natural response. Motivation will come and go, but when you lack motivation, those unconscious automatic reflex actions will still get things done. Natasha, your point on with that. That's the point about building those small, consistent things. You said those building those layers, those bricks, one thing after the next. It's a little foundation. So you may not feel motivated because it's raining outside, or you may not feel motivated because your favorite TV show was canceled, or your favorite team lost, or whatever it might be. But those things that we build, those will always be there. We'll find ourselves doing those automatically, like Natasha said. Why not me? Making statements like that and then acting on those things every day. I love that.
Yeah, and you know what's and really, if you can link those habits, you know, so like one of the things that I started doing was I was trying to figure out when I would do push-ups, and I was trying to, and I read Atomic Habits, and that may be where she's from what she's talking about right now. Or there was another book, The Power of Habit, or something. I think it's mentioned with different names in each book. Mm-hmm. But I said, okay, well, when I'm making coffee, it's a perfect time for me to do a few push-ups, a few squats, just body weight stuff. And you know, it became such just a routine, just a habit, because you're already doing this one thing that you have. It's already habitually trained. I'm going to make coffee. It's morning time.
Absolutely.
So I do my push-ups.
Absolutely. My wife and I have a routine. I wake up before she does. So I come downstairs and I do the treadmill, you know, every day. Yeah. And I don't feel like doing it every day. But my mind said, get up and do it. So before I know it, and there are days, Jim, I said, no, I'm not going to do it. But I'm saying no while I'm on the treadmill. Because my mind is already doing it.
Travis, this is the biggest myth, I think, about exercise, is people look at people that exercise and go, oh, well, they're just lucky. They like doing it. Or, you know, they're just really motivated. No, I went for years without exercising. And yeah, it's just, you know, you do it when you don't want to do it. It doesn't matter if you want to do it. You just do it because you made that goal. You know it's good for you. You just do it. And I remember when I was running a lot, I was running at lunch every time when I was working at this one clinic. And I would just be, and what I found myself was just calling myself, oh, this sucks. I hate this. And I said, no, that you can't do that. I started saying, I love this. And I'm going, no, absolutely. I don't. I go, yes, I do. I love this. Oh, it's so awesome. And after, I never started loving it, but it wasn't as unpleasant.
Exactly. Change the mindset. So we mentioned something. Natasha mentioned something. You've been mentioning something. I mentioned something. You have a book coming out, Jim. Have you settled on the name of the book, when it's coming out?
Yeah. So Natasha's mentioning my former book, which is getting re-edited. It'll be released in the fall, I think. I have a new book out. And brace yourself, everyone. It's called Your Life Sucks, How to Fix It. There's the comedy for this.
Did you hear that?
And so
Your Life Sucks, and Here's How to Fix It.
Yeah, and it just came to me one time when I was driving. And, you know, it's not the best. I'll be honest, it's not the best title, but it gets the people's attention. And I think what it does is it zeroes in on my audience, the people that I'm addressing.
Right.
If your life sucks, buy the book. If your life doesn't suck, don't buy it.
Exactly. You know what? I like the topic. I like the title. It would grab me. I like that because it said something to everybody, regardless of what level or where you are in your advancement in life or where you are, right, your achievements in life. There are some parts of your life that you just don't quite agree with you. And a lot of times it's like our lives can be in contradiction. We're really great up here, but not so great down here.
Yeah.
And life happens in between the gaps. Totally. We're great here, down here, not so, but in that middle spot, that gap, that's where we start feeling it. That's where the issues come in. That's where the impulsive natures come in. That's where the anger comes in. That's where the, you know, the road rage comes in. It's life happens always in between the gaps. So you have this great book coming out, guys. So you also have a podcast, Jim, don't you?
I do. It's called Exploring Awesome, and that's what I do. I explore awesome people, and they share their tips for living a more awesome life. So I've met a lot of cool people doing it, and I get a lot of great tips for living an awesome life.
That's pretty cool. Where can they hear it? Like on all the platforms, Spotify. Where can they hear it on?
Yeah, on Spotify is the best right now. I'm trying to get, I'm importing from the platform I used before, and it's just been a nightmare. So it's hard to get it on Apple right now, I think, and Google, but you can definitely get it on Spotify.
Awesome, guys.
Or on my website, or on my, I mean, my YouTube channel.
On YouTube, guys. And I have been throughout the show, I have been kind of showing everybody your the link to your website there. Guys, you got to go there. His TED Talk is absolutely amazing, phenomenal. Everything is phenomenal. I'm not going to go over the joke you did earlier. He said, you know, lots, he said this joke on YouTube, on his TED Talk. He said, have you ever been, someone's been talking to you and you tuned them out and you couldn't hear them? You're like, yeah, yeah. He said, that's called hypnosis. He said, has your wife ever been talking to you and it tuned out? He said, no. He said, has anyone else been talking to you and tuned out? He said, that's called your wife. So there you go. so you don't want to tune that one out. But guys, listen, what else we got in here? Somebody else put something in chat. Let's see what we got here.
Thank you, Natasha.
Oh, look at Natasha. I love that. I love that. Look at that. That's what you call having backup and having help.
Yeah, she's amazing. And the Exploring Awesome group. That's right.
And there's the Facebook. There it is right there.
And let me tell somebody, if you Google Kids Meet a Hypnotist, you'll have a blast with that. It's so funny. It's so charming. I love that. That's probably my favorite thing I've ever done.
I actually would love to see Kids Need Hypnotist. I'm going to have to check that out.
Kids Meet a Hypnotist, yeah. You said something earlier, and I don't remember what made me think about it, but you know, one thing to remember is wherever you are right now, you probably, I was talking about gratitude, being grateful for where you're at, because like where I'm at right now, I'm unbelievably grateful. I can't even believe it. But there's still a part of me that wants to do more, and sometimes I get frustrated while I'm not there yet. And then I have to remember, for all of us though, I don't care what job you're working at right now, I'll bet there was a time when you were excited and you were hoping they were going to call you. And when you got that call, I don't care what it was, a burger flipper, working at 7-Eleven or working at the office, whatever, you told your friends, I got hired, you know, or before exactly. That, you know, so we got to be grateful for where we're at, still striving, but be grateful for where we're at. You worked for it.
Absolutely. And guys, understand this, where we are, you know, the achievements that we have accomplished, you've earned that achievement. Celebrate yourself for that achievement. And don't let the dullness of what happens around us cause us to slip away from that. Because, again, like Jim said, you know what? When they called you, we were excited. When they emailed you and they gave you the offer letter, we were, oh, my God, I can't believe they hurt me.
Even if it was just because you had bills to pay. Maybe you weren't excited about the job, but you're excited to pay your bills. You
know? Exactly. I don't like working here, but I like the money.
Right, exactly.
But over time, like a new car you gave earlier, the new car, the paint begins to lose its luster.
Right.
The windshield gets cracked from a rock. And now that new car no longer has that new car smell. It smells like the burgers we had or, you know, the pizza we brought home, right? And there's that straw from the soda we're supposed to be drinking. And the car no longer looks great to us. And we decide to go buy something new. That impulse hits us. And we don't think it through. We don't stop and breathe and take our time and think through it, and that impulse nature hits us, and we find ourselves going back to that same default behavior that we were previously in that we don't want to do, that made us do this. Oh, why did I do that? Am I losing control? Am I under a spell? It all begins, the constant theme I keep hearing, build on something. Start small. It doesn't have to be big. Start small. Maybe you start by making your bed every day. And so if the day wasn't great, but you accomplished making that bed every day, you can look forward to that one thing that you built that one consistency on, and it grows from there. It grows from there. Guys, today we talked about under a spell. do you feel like you're just losing your mind, that you're just going through life, that something else is controlling you, and you just feel like you're just so impulsive? Jim Kellner has shared some great information, some great tips on what we can do and on how we can manage these impulsive things that we seemingly say we can't do without, that we have to have, that we're going to do it no matter what. And guys, I'm here to tell you that is not the truth. Let me get started here with this, Jim, real quick. If I don't, somebody's going to say something to me. Jim, let me tell you this, man. Thank you so much for joining the show. I'm absolutely excited and ecstatic that you decided to take time out your day and be here.
Thank you for having me, Travis. Having a blast, really. Great conversation.
I love it. I love it. Guys, listen, you know what time it is. It's that time. We got to get out of here today. I'm super excited that everybody joined in. Everybody was listening. And listen, if you're going to go back and watch this, you better watch it and enjoy it. Or maybe you decide you're going to tune in on one of your favorite streaming platforms like Apple Podcasts, Pandora, Google Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and so many more. And don't forget, you can tune in right here each week, 4 p.m. Central Standard Time, live on Facebook. That's 5 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific Time, guys. Don't forget, you can join in right here. And if you're going to tell me something good. I'm out of here. Peace. We gotta go, y'all.
Welcome to another round of Boardroom or Miro Board. Today we talk retrospectives with Agile coach Maria. Let's go. First question. You've spent 2 hours in a team retro, but the only input you've heard is Dave's. Boardroom or Miro Board?
Boardroom. In Miro, Dave can't hog the space because everyone can add thoughts anonymously, online at the same time.
Correct. Next. You need the team to act on feedback fast, so you turn all those retro notes into Jira tasks instantly.
Miro all the way. And I can assign those tasks to teammates.
You're nailing this. Now, you see hundreds of sticky notes from the retro. A real mess. But you organize them into 5 themes in just seconds.
Miro, I basically get back an entire hour when I use its AI tools for clustering.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people running actually enjoyable and actionable retros in Miro. Get your first 3 boards free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.